Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about a subject I know you personally have experienced. My guest, his name is Dr. Kirby Surprise. We're going to be talking about synchronicity, the art of coincidence, choice, and how it can help you unlock your mind. Dr. Kirby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
I hope you don't mind me calling you Dr. Kirby.
Dr. Kirby, Dr. Surprise, Dr. Kirby, whatever you like.
Okay. This is a man that says, I answer to anything just as long as, as it's the right name. Dr. Kirby is a man who received his doctorate in counseling psychology from the Institute for Integral Studies, and he's worked with an advanced outpatient program for the state of California. And this is interesting because you're so used to working with people that have mental disorders. They're delusional, psychotic, whatever term you want to add to it. How is it that synchronicity became something that intrigued you enough that you decided to put a book together about it?
Well, when I was an undergraduate student, I started to experience synchronistic events, these strange, meaningful coincidences in the environment that seem to reflect some part of what you're thinking or feeling. And it got to the point where I really needed, you know, to keep myself sane. I needed to figure out what was going on because I'd never been told by anyone that synchronistic events existed. So suddenly, I was seeing all these strange coincidences. And I needed to know how they work. And I wanted a logical explanation, something that, you know, kind of jived with, modern psychology and physics. And that sent me off on a course of trying to figure out how this phenomenon works.
You have, right at the beginning of your book, a wonderful, wonderful story, and it's a Dallas story, about a rainmaker. And I love this story. Would you share it with my audience?
I don't know. There's several stories in the book. Which one?
This is the one of the rainmaker who went into the village that was going through so much disharmony because there was a serious drought.
Yes, yes. And he brings harmony to the village, and when the harmony comes, then the rain starts. The story is meant to point out that the outer environment often reflects our inner state.
And with this, lots of times we need to become in harmony so things can flow. Otherwise, we're going to feel like we're blocked. Now, you have so many interesting stories about synchronicity. And again, right here, and it's in your foreword. I mean, this just really grabbed me from the moment I read it. A certain Mr. Duchamp, when he was a little boy, was given a piece of plum pudding, which he just adored. And when he saw plum pudding written on a menu in Paris, he wanted to order it, but it was too late. It had all been sold. And it was stated that a particular gentleman, whose name I hope I don't ruin, but Mr. Forgibu, and lots of years passed, but that man was identified as the person that had gotten the last order. And so a lot of years go by, a plum pudding is at this dinner party he goes to, and he jokingly tells his little story about how he missed his plum pudding at this one man, and guess what? This guy that had gotten the last piece of plum pudding at the restaurant so many years before walks in and is a guest at the dinner party. Now, what are the odds of that?
Well, you know, the odds are, you know, millions to one against most synchronicities. You know, the story also points out that even though, you know, when that story was written, you know, people didn't conceive it this way, But the synchronicities are mirroring patterns of thought of the individual. So this is a clear example where he's thinking about this plum pudding, and he's remembering this guy that got the last one. And I think he actually says in that story, he turns to a friend of his and said, you know, this is great. Now all I need is that guy to show up, and the guy walks through the door.
Right, right. That, and I know I've had experiences like that. My husband had an experience like that. We go to a theater, and there had been a course of conversation my husband and I had driving into Seattle to go see this show. We are seated in this particular row. We had been gifted tickets. And in walks in someone he hadn't seen for 15 years, that there needed to be a harmony established between the two of them, and they'd been out of touch. And here the guy comes in with his girlfriend, and they're right next to us. And my husband looked at me, and he said, what are the odds of our having this conversation, going to a theater show where we've been gifted tickets, and here, the very person we've been talking about ends up sitting right next to us. And whatever needed to be resolved, interestingly enough, was resolved. And it was just a fascinating happening. And so many of us have these things. You say we have the ability to create synchronicity. How?
Well, I say that not only do we have the ability, but we're doing it all the time, regardless of whether we're trying to or not. We live in a world... And can I give you a little bit of neurology background for a sec?
Oh, sure, please. Oh,
okay. So, I'd like to invite your audience to listen to us as if we're in the room with them and able to hear their thoughts and their concerns and know what's going on in their life. In other words, we're talking directly to them. That's a little game you can play, you know, in the interview sometime. Now, the room you're sitting in right now and the world around you, that's not the real world, believe it or not. What you're living in is a representation of the world that your brain creates. So, you have a miraculous supercomputer in your head. It's actually the cosmos's most intricate and powerful computer as far as we can tell. Now, you have billions of sensory nerves pointing into the environment, and they're all digital, just like little computers. And they send trillions of bits of information a minute to the brain, and the brain assembles all that information into a representation of reality. It actually assembles it in memory. So what you're living in right now is actually a hallucination that the brain creates based on sensory information. Now, the cool thing about that is that the brain changes the information as it comes in. So what you're experiencing right now, a lot of the information that's there, a lot of the patterns, have either been deleted, modified or added to by the brain, depending on what it thinks that you, the conscious part of you, has been looking for. So synchronicity happens in two ways. One is what you've been thinking and feeling, you know, what you've consciously chosen to pay attention to. The automated systems of the brain take that as a cue that you want to see more of those patterns. So when those patterns appear in the environment, they get highlighted. The other part is that you actually change events in the real world by about 5%. And we've known this one for decades, that the act of observing any experiment actually changes the outcome. Now, everybody already walks around in clouds of synchronistic events. The thing is that because they reflect what you're feeling and thinking, it makes the world look exactly like you think it should and ought to look like. But when in fact, most of what you're seeing is what you've chosen to look for.
It's really intriguing. It's the adage of if you buy a red car, bingo, you see every red car on the road where maybe you only saw navy blue before. It's a fascinating, fascinating pattern. Now, you have bring out Carl Jung, and I think this was such a fabulous man, and in his time, he was so far ahead of everyone else, in my estimation anyway, about the mind and how the mind intuits so much information. And you have one of his stories about a woman that was having a difficult time adjusting to life. She just was really having problems, and she was talking to him, and she talked about a dream. Someone had given her a golden scarab. He turns around because he hears a tapping on a window behind him, and lo and behold, there's a scarab that's on the window. And these things, when they happen, they're outside of what you'd call the rational expectation. And yet, here was something that happened to him, along with many, many other incidences, that made him say there's something that's going on with the mind. As you got into this, Dr. Keith, as you got into this and were working with it, what was most intriguing to you? What did you find that was so fascinating that you had to keep experimenting to see if there was a logical patterning to it?
Well, I had an event happen that just kind of blew my mind. This is the event of the house that's in the book. I've been following synchronistic events for a while, and unbeknownst to me at the time, the more you pay attention to them, the sort of focus of your attention causes more of them to happen, and they happen in the pattern you're looking for. So I became fascinated with them, and they started to show up more often. And I hit sort of a tipping point with it for a bad joke, where I was staring at a house one day, and I was thinking about the movie Carrie and wondering what it would be like for the house to move, because that's how she destroys the house in the movie. And the house flipped over on its side. And
well, that's a bit of a stopper.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was kind of panicked. And, you know, I looked at this house with the roof facing me. And, you know, after I figured out I wasn't asleep and that I couldn't possibly have done that, I said, well, if that actually happened, then I want the house to crush itself like in the movie. And it actually did. The house started to split apart and, you know, break. And then I saw this flashy yellow paint above the house, and this huge bulldozer climbed over the top of it, finished wrecking it, and started loading it into trucks I couldn't see because the house was between me and the wrecking equipment. But at that moment, I had gotten what I wanted. What I was wondering was what it would be like psychologically to have the experience of being able to move something that large. And it did exactly what I told it to, but it did it synchronistically. It was not telekinetic. You know, I just couldn't. There's some, you know, synchronistic miracle. The house was scheduled to be demolished that day. And from where I was sitting, everything was obscured. So that kind of told me that, you know, Jung was wrong. You know, he said that we have no influence over these events. He said that there are archetypes in the universe that coordinate our thoughts and the events in the environment. And I looked at this and said, well, you know, I had the thought first, what I wanted to see, what I wanted to experience. And I understand the meaning of it, which means that the unconscious is involved. So I decided that, you know, rather than be unthinkable and unexplainable, as Jung had said, that, you know, we were somehow connected to this. And that, you know, if I could experience it, there was a physics involved. You know, that the universe, I don't think, is random. I think it operates on actual discernible laws. So then I started to study, you know, the psychology of how people project things into the environment. And eventually, when string theory came along with its views on alternative probabilities and universes, it kind of fell into place that what we're seeing is a direct mirror of our own internal processes. You know, we see what we're thinking and feeling in the environment. There's no other cause except us. And, you know, and then I began to play with that idea and see if you could actually create patterns in the environment by looking for them. And indeed, it's actually not only easy to do, but everybody is doing it already. It's kind of an automatic part of our evolution.
You have a wonderful story in your book about you and your daughter. You were in the town of Seaside, Oregon, and your daughter's an illustrator, and you both were talking about magical symbols that are used often in fantasy artwork, like Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, all kinds of things. And you mentioned to her something about the symbols in magical artwork that you had scene that seemed to be based on the Key of Solomon.
Right.
Could you tell us the rest of that story? What happened?
Okay, so we were talking about the various kinds of scripts that are created for movies because she wants to do background illustrations for movies. And I told her that, you know, my father had left me a copy of Sophia Solomon, published around 1903, I think. And that in that, there's all the circles and pentagrams and symbols, from the Judeo-Christian mystical tradition that, are like for summoning angels and demons and warding off things and seals for the different planets and hours of the day. And I was telling her that, most of this modern artwork took its ideas originally from the Key of Solomon. And I was saying, for instance, the Talisman of Mercury, and I talked to her about, about it being a symbol for a planet, represents a symbol for an angel, and it's also psychological because it's about communication. And we talked about that one for a while and what it meant and, how those ideas were translated into fantasy art. And then I got back to the hotel room, and my wife had been out shopping, and she hands me a pendant, pewter pendant, that she had just bought for me at a Celtic store. And on the front of the pendant is this, set of elaborate symbols. I'm like, oh, wow, this is just like I was talking about with my daughter. And it was a Celtic design with various symbols on the front for planets and whatnot that were originally from the Key of Solomon. And I told my wife, wow, this is really a big coincidence because I was just talking about these kind of symbols with my daughter. And I said, I was talking about the Talisman of Mercury. And she looks at me, and I turn the pendant over, and the back of the pendant is the design of the Talisman of Mercury I was just talking about.
Sometimes I think there are mind links, that's how I like to describe them, that are making connections. It's like the internet at super speed. And here you go, and this dips into this, and then all of a sudden you're with whatever the association is. It has been so much a part of my life, I'm always fascinated by it. And you, as a doctor that works with a lot of individuals, sometimes they have some very serious mental problems. You made a comment I thought that was quite interesting. You say the mentally ill often do experience synchronistic events more often than those that are not. Why do you think that's so?
Well, because, our brain adapts to the social situations we're in and the expectations of the environment. So if you're raised in a culture that doesn't believe in synchronistic events, that's more sort of Cartesian, linear, and logic, then you train the brain to ignore them. You say these patterns are not important, so they don't become conscious. People that are mentally ill often don't have any established rules left. They don't know what's real, what's not real. So they don't filter in the same way that we do. So, in psychiatry, there's a term, thoughts of reference, which is where someone who with a delusional or a psychotic disorder might say that, the radio or television set talks about what they're thinking about in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is, that's not in and of itself delusional. You can actually use a radio, a television, or any feedback source, and if you pay enough attention, you'll actually get a conversation out of it. And what you're getting is your unconscious communicating patterns to you through synchronistically arranging the outside events. There's nobody actually doing it. It's a direct mirror. Now, the difference between synchronistic events and a delusional disorder, can I give you a short story?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, so I had a client come in, and I had read his files, and I was told that he had been diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenia. Now, paranoid schizophrenics, the hallmark is they have an elaborate delusional system where there's usually some grandiose center to it. And I'm talking to this guy, and my job is to diagnose and assess him. And he's depressed, but I don't see any psychotic symptoms. Usually when you're sitting across with someone who has a psychotic disorder, especially schizophrenia, there's a cluster of symptoms. You can kind of tell if you know what you're looking for. There's something neurologically up with them. This guy's depressed, but his cognition is fine. He's having a normal conversation and doesn't sound delusional. And I finally say, you're diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic. You're a little depressed, but I don't see anything else wrong with you. Why are you here? And he goes, oh, well, you wouldn't believe me. I said, try me. So he tells me this story about how around his early 20s, he was basically walking down the street, and this amazing coincidence happened. Something in his environment seemed to mirror exactly what he was thinking back to him, as if he was being talked to by the entire universe at once. And this quite astounded him and blew him away. He had never heard of synchronistic events. And he decided that this was God talking to him. And lo and behold, excuse the pun, shortly afterwards, everything around him began talking to him as if God was using the environment as a sentence to talk to him. And he said that, you know, I've been given some great purpose, but I can't figure out what it is. And, you know, radios and TVs talk to me, and people come up to me on the street and ask me directions to places I'm already going. And, you know, I keep getting these messages, something special is going to happen. And, you know, usually when someone is absolutely grandiose and really delusional, you know, they are sure that they're special. This guy was saying, no, there's other people like me that see this, but I just don't know, you know, what's going on with it, and it's ruined my life. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, I went to work and started telling them about it, and, you know, and I got fired, and I was obsessed with it, and my friends drifted away, and he spent 30 years, you know, going to mental health people being diagnosed as crazy, you know, because he was telling about these coincidences. So I told him, look, what's happening is you're seeing your own thoughts reflected in the environment. I said, I think what's happened to you is you saw this first event, and then you decided God was talking to you, and because it's a mirror, that's the pattern it took. Once you decided that's what you were looking for, that's how it responded. It's a direct mirror. And I told him a story about how people who keep pet birds in a cage will sometimes put a mirror in the cage. Now, the mirror is there to keep the bird company, because the bird's not smart enough to know that it's a reflection, not another bird. So it starts pecking at it and arguing with it and carrying on with it and keeps it busy. Synchronicity was working the same way in the environment for him. He created this personal mythology that God was talking to him, and he began to see it all around him and began to argue with himself about it. So I told him, I want you to go back to your room, and I want you to watch the television and talk to the whatever it is on the other side that talks to you, and instead of listening for God, listen for Bugs Bunny or Walt Disney. And he went, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. So he went back, and he came back the next week for session, and he was like, oh, my God, dude, I've been talking to myself for 30 years. And I was able to teach him that what he was looking at were his own thoughts, and that he had a large degree of control over them because they respond the way you look for them. Earlier, when I talked about the brain creating the environment you're in, the brain is intelligent. The unconscious is intelligent, and it responds to you the way you ask it to. So in the same way that some people will pay attention to their dreams to look for messages from the unconscious, the unconscious can communicate with you through events in the environment as well. And it's completely normal. The brain is meant to work this way. It's just that some people can get terribly confused because they're not taught that this is an innate part of the way reality works.
You have two words in your book that really rang loud and true to me, and I really liked how you used them. You say cognitive castration. We in the Western environment have really not wanted people to become aware of this capacity that they have. Define cognitive castration for my audience.
All right, I'm going to give you two examples. When we're children, when we're young children, we're told magic is real. You can wish upon a star, you can want something bad enough, you can work and hope and dream, and your dreams will come true. You know, it's a long Walt Disney commercial. Then, when we get to be 7 or 8 years old, suddenly they tell us, oh, you know, by the way, magic isn't real. Everything is linear and dependable, and you have to work really hard, and what you think and what you feel doesn't really have any effect on the environment. Now, that's an act of cognitive castration because, in fact, the actual real scientific research says we change the environment by about 5% all the time. In fact, in science, the gold standard for experimental design is called a double-blind experiment. That's one where the person actually doing the hands-on research and the subjects, neither one of them know what the outcome is supposed to be. That's because we found out that just observing the experiment and expecting it to work a certain way changes the outcome. Now, that's not like the person fudges something or unconsciously tweaks the result. When you watch something, you change the way the events unfold.
Mm-hmm.
So we cognitively castrate our kids by telling them suddenly that, you know, they have no effect on the environment. And we do this partially because until now we didn't understand how this worked. You know, is it evil forces in the universe? Is it some paranoid thing? Is it delusional? And, you know, and what it, to degree that we do this. One of the problems has been in the last 30 or 40 years that the New Age came about and a bunch of people began touting that you create your own reality. Well, clearly we don't create our own reality, except maybe what our brain does for us. But we do actually influence the reality about 5%. The other part of the cognitive castration is sort of an old shaman's trick. Now, I poke a lot of fun at religion. Obviously not yours or my beliefs, but, you know, some of the strange ones.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, you know, there are people who have realized in the past that we do this naturally, that everybody does it. And one of the ways you can sort of gain control over somebody is you can say, well, I know how God wants you to behave. I have my book or my beliefs, and God is telling me to tell you that you should be doing and believing X, Y, and Z. So people hear this. They hear whatever sermons, whatever belief. Then they go out into the environment, and their thoughts, those ideas that they were given, get projected into the environment and seem to confirm whatever it is they believe, whatever they believe. This is why, for example, people with fundamentalist beliefs of any ilk see the world the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not delusional. You know, they're reasonable people. They're sincere. What they don't get is that their thoughts cause the environment to look that way. And my favorite saying out of the book is, don't believe everything you think. Because, you know, what you think is going to show up around you. And the choice is to, you know, think about what you're believing and why you believe it, and to sort of take control of your ability to create events in the environment. And, you know, more than simply a serious thing, it's a lot of fun to be able to make the environment respond to the patterns that you like.
It is. It's fascinating. And sometimes it happens in the most unlikely patterning. You have a quote here by Albert Einstein that I just really, really liked, and I'm going to share it with my listeners. A human being is part of the whole, the universe. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. That is really quite a powerful segment of statement. And I think your book, Synchronicity, has so much fascinating information in it. The stories that you share, the experiences that you have where you say, and you abbreviate it by S-E, as a synchronistic event, you say they won't leave you alone. You just have one right after the other. And you want people to know that if they are awake enough and are astute enough, they're going to realize a lot of things are just flowing for them in the way that they would never have imagined. And I think that it's a wonderful perspective that you give in your book, Synchronicity. And you say in here, the universe you're experiencing right now is a construct built in your brain's memory. Wow. The adage, change your thinking, change your life, really is something that does apply. Dr. Kirby, surprise, where can people find out more about what you do? Where's your website? Do you have one? And I know Synchronicity, this book, is available at all the bookstores and on Amazon. But how can people find out more about your work?
I have a website, howsynchronicityworks.com.
And howsynchronicityworks.com.
And it's a general website. It's got some experiences and some forums, and people can write in. I'd love to, you know, people share their stories. And I very much want to make this a real experiential thing for people, not just a theoretical research thing. I'd like people to be able to realize that being able to create synchronistic events in your environment is something that you're already doing, And it's something you don't have to practice. You don't need to spend time learning exercises. Although I'd love people to buy the book, you don't actually have to do that either, although I think it would be good. You're already doing it, and it's an ability you already have, and it's just a lot of fun. One of the jokes that people make about this book is that it's the only book ever written where you read the book and your environment changes.
Well, there you've got it. Dr. Kirby Surprise, his book, Synchronicity, The Art of Coincidence, Choice, and Unlocking Your Mind. It's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. And for those of you that would like to share some of your experiences with Dr. Kirby Surprise, go to his website, howsynchronicityworks.com. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Donna Siebel again. Dr. Kirby Surprise, thank you for being my guest. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then you just relax, and I'll give you my impressions, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Quick like a bunny, I do want to mention to those of you in the state of Washington, the Emerald Spiral Expo is coming up on the 24th of March. I will be there. It's being held in Kent, Washington, at the Kent Commons. And for those of you that would like to have more information about that, the admission is free to the public. I will be there doing many consultations as well as bringing in buku books. So if you're interested in finding out more about all of the wonderful things going on at the event, Emerald Spiral, Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, then check out emeraldspiral.com. Emerald, just like the gem, spiral.com. Well, I missed giving those of you that have been listening for the spring horoscope. I had been able to give Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. Well, I'd given out the predictions for that. But how about you Leos and Virgos? Aha, yes. I hadn't gotten to you or the other signs of the zodiac. So what is it that spring is going to hold for those of you born under the sign of Leo? Well, for those of you that feel like you're stuck, well, not really. You're not really stuck. You might be at a crossroads, but that crossroads is going to be very definitely eliminated because you're going to find yourself in a very decisive period, especially during the month of May. When it comes to money, though, wow, you better put a padlock on your bank account because you're going to be tempted to spend a whole bunch of money. So pay attention, be wise, And just know that you can limit yourself and you can manage your money wisely. But remember, the temptation to spend a bunch is going to be there. And what about those things that you aspire for, your dreams, your goals? Well, those are something you're going to really have to work on. You're going to have to pay a lot of attention to detail, and more than that, you really are going to have to be consistent in your effort. So be patient, and don't be surprised if someone you haven't seen in a long time sort of pops up in your life. For those of you born under the sign of Virgo, well, you have a tendency to be a workaholic at times, but you're going to be balancing fun and play very nicely this spring. Your home life is extremely important to you. And you're going to find yourself, as spring starts to phase out, you're going to realize that summertime is really going to be very productive for you as an individual. And if you've got certain agendas, this is the time to get all your planning together so that you can see them through to the result that you want. Well, Virgos usually have a pretty good idea about how to manage money. They're usually fairly well grounded as individuals. And what you want to do is do some more studying about how you want your money to be leveraged so that you're going to get more value out of your dollar than normal. Also, there are people that you've been wanting to get in touch with or keep company with, and this is going to be happening for you. Your efforts are going to be paying off. If you're wanting to take care of your health, those of you under the sign of Virgo, springtime is a great time for you to start. You'll get out of those sleepy, lazy winter doldrums, and you're going to be more energetic. So this is a good time for you to decide what kind of a food and physical exercise program you want to follow so that you're going to be able to feel fitter when those beautiful summer months come about, and they'll be just around the corner. Well, those are two signs, and I've got yet to get to the other 6 months of the year: Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So those will be coming up in the next few days. I thought after hearing the guest we had today talking about synchronicity, I'd share one of my personal stories with you, because I have these things happen almost every day. It just amazes me. I'm always intrigued by it, and I'm intrigued with Dr. Kirby Surprise's perspective. But I had a girlfriend that I'm in touch with her every week. We've known each other for years, and her sister was going to be celebrating her birthday. And her sister was, well, she's a very mature lady. She's getting elderly now. And she said, gee whiz, what do we do for someone that's getting up there? She's basically got everything. And so we were chatting. We decided that fur and diamonds would be very nice. And she had asked her sister about it, and her sister said, oh, that would be absolutely marvelous. So we were just having a good time chatting. And my girlfriend told me, she said, you know, we found this faux fur. So we are going to get out our sewing machine, and we're going to make up like a fake fur stole. And they were just having the best time for this. But she said, you know, I haven't been able to find anything that's really big and glitzy. It's got a major bling to it. I said, well, you know what? There's this little store. Let me go see if I can find something for you. I'll keep my eyes open. I'll check out a couple of the thrift stores, too. So I go out. Now, I had just finished talking with her. I go out. I make a run to the post office. Across from the post office is this wonderful consignment store. I go over there, the door is open, I walk in, and the owner's name is Renata. And I said, hi, Renata. And she said, oh, my goodness, Donna, we're closed. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. But she said, nope, don't worry about it. The door was open, we're doing rearranging in here, and we needed some ventilation, so come on in. What are you looking for? Well, her husband, Renata's husband, was there, and he was listening. And I said, well, I told the story about my girlfriend and about her sister, who's in her 80s, and she's going to be having this special birthday party, and we were looking for the gaudiest piece of jewelry that you could possibly find. Renata's husband speaks up, and he said, I've got just the thing. And he goes into a shelf that had been uploaded with a lot of jewelry, and he brings out a box. And it's just a box that's maybe 2x2 inside. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, what's that? And he said, let me show you. He takes the lid off the box, and here is a circular piece of rhinestone that's 2 inches in diameter. I mean, this thing was so gaudy and so huge that I looked at that and I went, oh, that's perfect. Well, he then goes to show me how this box had been given to the store. It was just donated to the store. The woman didn't want it anymore. And it was an exact replica of a pen that was custom designed, and I don't remember the designer's name, for Jacqueline Kennedy. So here was this phenomenally gaudy, huge pen, and at the same time, it was absolutely beautiful. Well, I was stunned. So I take my cell phone, I call my girlfriend, and I said, oh, my goodness, because I thought this was going to be pretty expensive. And I asked how much it was. He said, $15. I call my girlfriend. I said, is $15 okay? She said, that's perfect. I can't find anything. I said, well, I'll send it to you. So I did. That was so, when they got it, they were astonished. And not only had we gotten something that was so absolutely amazing, but it was an antique. It was a collector's item. Her sister is an avid collector of stuff. And when they went to the birthday party, they gave her her full fur stole and this pen that was a duplicate of Jacqueline Onassis. She was just blown away, the sister was. Now, that's synchronicity. That is an example of synchronicity. And these things happen all the time to me. And someone might say, oh, but Donna, you're a psychic. These are things that you're going to know about. It's been with me all my life. And our guest made a comment. When you go with the flow, it's amazing what happens. And it's just something that's absolutely fascinating to watch, being in the right place at the right time, talking to the right person, getting the right thing. And sometimes, have you ever heard someone say, well, I've got this, but I just don't know where I'm going to, who I'm going to give it to. And then all of a sudden, you meet somebody, and you say, that's who this is for, and you give it to them. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me many times. It's a lot of fun. Synchronicity is a lot of fun. I wanted to share a little bit of history with you. Francisco Pizarro, yes. I'm sure you heard about him in history. Well, he, if you haven't, he was a 16th century Spanish explorer and conquistador of the Incas. Personally, I didn't like him very much when I read about him when I was in school, and I like him even less the more I know about him as an adult. He was stabbed to death by his own countrymen in 1541. So he wasn't a particularly nice character. Now, his body was buried behind the cathedral in Lima, Peru, on the night he died. And it remained there for 2.5 years. In 1544, his bones were exhumed and placed in a velvet-lined box. And those bones in that velvet-lined box were deposited under the main altar of the cathedral. Now, during the next 350 years, Pizarro's remains were moved frequently. Why? Because of earthquakes. The cathedral was constantly undergoing repairs because of all of these earthquakes. Now, on the 350th anniversary of his death, and this was in 1891, a mummified body authenticated as his was placed in a glass and marble sarcophagus, which was set up for public display. Then something happened. In 1977, some workmen repairing a crypt beneath the main altar found 2 boxes. One was lined with velvet and filled with human bones. The other box bore the Spanish inscription, here is the skull of the Marquis Don Francisco Pizarro, who discovered and won Peru and placed it under the crown of Castile. So which one was his? Which body? In 1984, experts, forensic experts from the United States, flew to Peru to compare the 2 sets of remains, and they determined that the bones in the velvet-lined box were those of Pizarro. His bones were placed in a box in a glass sarcophagus, and the imposter mummy, and by the way, they never knew who he was returned to the crypt underneath the altar. Don't you just love history? Donna SIBO here. We're going to take a break in just a moment. Ooh, quick like a bunny. I want to let you know we've got a great group of guests this week. Tomorrow, Rebecca Chambers, Beyond the Great Abyss, Dancing with Your Dragon, Sherry Richards, Playboy, Celebrities and Me, Diane Dorman, Mediumship, and The Flow of Grace, Jessica Bryan. Lots of interesting people this week. You'll want to hear what they have to say. We're taking a break now. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna SIBO. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna SIBO to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Call in to is 888-627-6008. I wanted to chat for a minute about real estate fraud. This is something that we're hearing in the news just about every single day. And I last week was talking with a client who related some unique situations that were going on with banks and how some friends of hers have gone through some very difficult times, and the reality is usually we get scammed when our emotions get in the way. Also, when we honestly don't have any experience, don't have someone that we can talk to that can educate us about red flags. But whenever con artists want to really ace the deal, they want to work with your emotional buttons. If they can get you to emotionally feed in to or hook on to the line that feeds you in to what they're desiring to accomplish, that's usually when they can hook you and pull you in. Now, one of the things that has come about, and David Horowitz really is one of the people that I think brings so much good information to the forefront regarding things relating to consumer protection. So I thought I'd share some of his concepts and information points with you. We have to be aware that what we see on television and many times what we hear through media, whether it is written, audio, visual, it doesn't make any difference. There are those people who as advertisers are unscrupulous. And there are a lot of things, I know I've seen them on television, and I just raised my eyebrow, where they're promising how they can take care of your foreclosure via email. There's just so much that goes on. Are you like me? Do you sometimes get these phone solicitations? I was getting buku, and finally they've dissipated. But I was literally getting two or three calls every single day about refinancing, gee whiz, we can do this for you, that for you, and the other. And my husband sometimes would be answering the phone, and he would just be fascinated by what they were trying to do, and they'd want information from him. He'd say, nope, I'm not going to give it to you. You're not going to have anything. So the conversation didn't last long, but he made a comment, too. He said, gee whiz, there's so many people out there hawking their wares, especially when it comes to real estate, and that's true. You've got to be careful because there's a lot of companies that are not legitimate, and you need to be very, very careful. And I'm getting gobs of them through the email. What about you? You getting a whole bunch of them? I get so many of them. Lots of times they're charging excessive fees. They can't deliver on services that they promise because that's not their intention. Also, there are a lot of people out performing fake services, and they'll call themselves a mortgage consultant, a foreclosure service. They're going to promise you for a fee, and we expect the people are going to charge for their services, but they take your money, you never hear from them again. Transferred funds. They'll say they want you to make your mortgage payments directly to them or to their company, and then they're going to make sure that everything's in order. They even tell people to give their property deed to them. Now, that's beyond me, but there are people that are naive enough to do exactly that. Once you begin making payments, what happens is they get your money, they keep it, and your mortgage doesn't get paid. I've known of a few people that have gone along with so-called services like this. And it's a bear. It is really, really tragic. So, what you need to be aware of, if you're having a challenge, you want, and you have a mortgage, you want to be in communication with your mortgage company. And you want to contact the company or the lawyer that represents your mortgage company if there's a challenge. Deal with the people that are directly involved. Now, I know that can be challenging, too, but you've really got to be careful because in this electronic age, there is so much scamming out there. It is 10,000 times worse than it ever was. Also, people that are buying homes, you've got a risk, too. You've really got to pay attention. If you're wanting to buy a home, and, of course, the interest rates are the lowest I have ever been aware of, you've got to be very, very careful. Now, what's one of the things that's happening with property today? Property flipping. Well, that is a term that's been around for a long time. And gee whiz, through years, I remember knowing a number of people that did very well. They made good money. They'd buy a piece of property that needed work on it. They'd fix it up. They'd flip the house. Well, that's okay. But the unscrupulous ones buy houses or condos, and especially in Las Vegas and Florida, they are really working overtime. They drive up the price in a few days or weeks, and they sell it to someone that they know. And then the buyers use the inflated price to acquire bank loans for more than the property is worth, gaining excess funds for the flippers to split as profits. I know. It really is something that just really is most irritating. But the one that really gets to me, and having had some personal experience with this years ago, it's about appraisers. And there are those appraisers that are not honest. There are those that sometimes work for organizations and they lowball something and it's atrocious, or they'll exaggerate a value. And guess what? It's not kosher. So you really want to pay attention so that you don't get conned. Whenever you're working with someone on a real estate matter, you want to find out if they've got a license and what is the status with their license. And whatever you do, never pay cash for anything, ever. Use only a credit card or check. Because once they have the cash in hand, that's it. Hasta la vista. They are gone. And you need to check with friends what their experiences have been. You want to check out industry websites. And you can go to the Federal Trade Commission, which is www.ftc.gov, and the Mortgage Fraud Task Force. Boy, they're working overtime. It's just accelerated, mortgage fraud. And you can go find out more about that. That's www.mortgagefraudtaskforce.com. And I think it's important for us to know about these things because many times what we don't know can hurt us. Well, this is Donna Siebel. We're just about out of time. It's been delightful sharing this hour with you. I'm so glad you could join me. And tomorrow we are going to be talking about Beyond the Great Abyss. Rebecca Chambers, a special story I think you'll find fascinating. This is Donna. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And don't forget, pay attention to those moments of synchronicity. They're magical. Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.